You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, March 25th, 2024. You're listening to me, Grandpa Dan, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. We're starting your work week off. And I'm starting off with a request because, you see, some things do. They say the internet things, once they're on the internet, they last forever. But I know certain things do not. Certain things get scrubbed from the internet. And maybe you, dear listeners, can help me out with that. The image I posted up for this show is not the image I want. And if you still have this image, shoot it to me. Email is on my Parish of the Patriots show, but it's parishofthepatriots@protonmail.com. And the image I actually wanted to put on the show, and if you'll get it to me, and if I happen to get it in a fairly timely manner, I'll swap it out for this show, is an image that was released several years ago by the Russian embassy that showed ISIS as like a wind-up toy with the U.S. hand and like, I think there was like the Israel flag on the sleeve or whatever. You know what I'm talking about. You remember that image? I had it at one point in time, probably at one of my computer changes or just image clearing. I lost it. And I thought, well, I'll look it up. I've searched. I've spent way too much time searching. And I cannot find that image. It's like it's just disappeared. So if you do happen to have it and you want to shoot it to me, that'd be awesome. I'd kind of appreciate that. And I'll try to get that put up for the image that I wanted to use for this show, which obviously I'm going to be talking a little bit about this terrorist attack. I don't know how not to. I'm not putting forth like I'm giving some sort of expert opinion. I'm just going to kind of go over it and give some of my opinions on it. I have not had a chance to talk to Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. I would think that perhaps he's going to cover it on his Thursday Daily Nationalist show. Again, I haven't had a chance to talk to him to see if he is. If he does, it'll be well researched and you'll get actual factual things that you might not know. So we'll have to see. On that, what I'm giving is just my opinion. Again, I'd feel silly. It's one of those things I was considering whether or not to do this, and I'm thinking, well, and this really drops right in the middle of Dr. Johnson's forte. And then at the same time, I'm thinking, well, yeah, but it's going to be silly for me to sit here and do a show on something else when this is really the big news that occurred over the weekend. So I'm kind of torn on that. So I decided I'm just going to go ahead. But as usual, it's just my opinions on it and kind of keeping the big picture in perspective. And not, I'm going to say I'm not sitting here and I've got mountains of research or anything like that. We're just going to discuss it as a general topic. And again, what we know so far. Now, as far as what happened, I think all of you are aware of that. I don't really need to go over the finite details of it. I think all of you know what happened at this concert hall. And that these suspects have been detained. I think there's a lot of things that have gone on in the background and leading up to this. And that's, I always like to keep, because you get a news item and there's always this, they want you to view these things in a vacuum, you know, without any context at all. It's kind of like how a lot of people, even Christian people, they misread the Bible because they'll read one verse and they don't understand the context of this whole thick book that one verse resides in, and they wind up getting it all wrong. People are encouraged to view news stories that same way without any context of what's going on behind the scenes or what's going on, what other parties have said leading up to this happen. Now, of course, almost immediately afterwards, after this terrorist attack, ISIS came forward and claimed they did it. And right after that, the U.S. came out and said, well, there you have it. It was totally ISIS. You can see why I wanted that image. For the U.S. sit there and say, well, we didn't have anything to do with it. It was ISIS. And literally anybody with a pulse is not just a complete brain dead normie. Everyone in the world, every world leader, everybody understands who ISIS is. They understand every, not viewing it in a vacuum, keeping that context. Remember when ISIS was being treated in field hospitals by Israel? Anybody remember that? We know who ISIS is. Oh, this hardcore Islamic terrorist group that gets treated in field hospitals by Israel. They never attack Israel or the U.S. They always only attack the U.S.'s enemies. But we're supposed to pretend. This all comes back to how the U.S. plays this game. They act like the world stage is their courtroom and they've bought off the judge. And as long as they can give some sort of flimsy, no matter how flimsy, some sort of plausible deniability excuse, then Your Honor, you can't find me guilty. You can't prove that I object. And again, the judge in their mind is bought off. And they play this game. And it only works as long as everybody else plays along with them. At some point in time, because these things don't go on forever, I know people get frustrated and they're like, no, they need to do this. I see people ranting, you know, China needs to do this. Russia needs to do this. Well, it's not a bar fight on Saturday night and somebody's, you know, insulted your girlfriend or your pride or something. It's not how these things play out. Russia and China continue basically to play this game. But at some point, somebody's not going to. It's going to be something to behold. It really is. There's going to be something to behold when suddenly they're playing this game that they're used to playing. This whole, oh, global courtroom, and as long as I can play these word games and cast these word spells, then there's nothing you can do. Ha, 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 it's totally not us. And somebody's going to say, yeah, no, it's you. No, you can't prove, we're going to launch some bomb, you know. Wait, Your Honor, Your Honor. Only there is no Your Honor. That was just a figment of their imagination. The world stage is not a courtroom, and you're not that clever. The game goes on, and in a lot of ways, the longer this game goes on, the weaker the U.S., their position becomes. Because everybody knows, and they're just playing along with it, and they're playing along with it because it serves them to do so, at least for now. At some point in time, reality comes crashing in. At some point in time, somebody's going to say, yeah, don't, we're not playing that. We know it was you. Here comes the payback. Now, again, I see people on the internet and they're putting, you know, well, you know, Russia's going to start really bombing, I don't know, NATO countries or something. I don't really see any sign of that happening. But one thing that one should keep in mind is they do have a pattern of always getting their payback over such things. I mean, there's going to be payback. I saw an interesting article, you know, Macron there in France has been talking hella shit lately against Russia and about even threatening to send French troops. And then I see a story this morning where sources say that the man is absolutely paranoid about his own security. They said he was already paranoid because he knows the French people hate him. Wow, yay democracy, huh? But now that he's been talking hella shit at Russia, he's super paranoid that the Russians are going to kill him. And he's terrified of this. On the one hand, coming out and talking hella shit. And on the other hand, he reveals himself as the coward that he is. All of these people are cowards, by the way. All these neocons, all these firebrand American politicians that talk about we need to teach Putin a lesson. We need to show that's because they assume everybody's going to play along with the game. If they thought for a minute that, I don't know, a Russian death squad was going to come up and hang them by their ankles and cut their head off, they wouldn't. They're cowards. They're never going to lead the troops into battle. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the likes of Lindsey Graham leading the troops on a democracy crusade somewhere? No. They always lead from a nice, comfy place, and they always assume nothing will happen to them. There was a story I read, and they had offered at some point in time during this conflict between Russia and Ukraine, they said any Russians that come over and defect to Ukraine, we'll give them $500,000 because, of course, somebody who's a conscientious defector will totally do it for money. And this guy did it. He basically took a military helicopter and landed it in Ukraine. Now, apparently the other Russian guy on there, I didn't know anything about it. As soon as they landed, they executed this guy in cold blood. But the traitor, I don't know if he got his $500,000, but somehow he miraculously got a new identity and was living comfy and cozy in Spain until his body turned up in a street riddled with bullet holes and run over by a car. And everybody shrugs and says, well, we just don't know. We just don't know. No matter who they are, whoever's, you know, everyone involved in this is some, you know, they're so far up that ladder, up that chain of decision making, that the retribution is going to happen. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be bombs falling, but I do think there will definitely be some payback. Now, of course, the U.S., again, they're playing along this ISIS thing, and everybody knows, again, who ISIS is. And the Russians are being pretty quiet, and they, you know, they pretty much dismissed that, especially considering the fact that the suspects were detained fleeing towards the Ukraine. But they're being pretty quiet about it and saying they're going to do their investigation and so on and so forth, which makes sense. I think what everybody's waiting for is just to see what they're going to say. I mean, we're regular. I'm a regular guy. Y'all listeners, y'all are pretty much regular people. And y'all understand. Again, you know who ISIS is. You know who's ultimately behind this terrorist attack. Isn't it interesting? The U.S., and they come out and make their completely insincere condemnations against the terrorism. You know, oh, we condemn these terrorist attacks. We condemn all forms of this terrorism, and our sympathies and condolences go out to the Russian people. And it's so sickening because you know they don't mean that. You know they don't mean it. They all just shut the hell up. Isn't it funny how they'll come out, them and their Western European lackeys, they come out and condemn this act of horrible terrorism. And yet, for years now, the Ukrainians have been attacking civilians in these now Russian areas. They're launching missiles and artillery shells. They're launching weapons that the U.S. has and their Western lackeys have supplied them with and hitting civilian targets, because that's all they can do, basically, at this point. Where's the condemnation for that? This attack happens at this Russian concert. And they have the nerve to come out and say they condemn any attacks on civilians. But what would you call what's happening in Palestine right now, in the Gaza Strip right now? How on the one hand does the U.S. sit here and supply the money, weapons, bombs, both to Ukraine and Israel, to carry out attacks on civilians? And then they have the nerve to so insincerely say they condemn this terrorist attack on this concert in Russia. You know, like I say, they'd be better off just shutting the hell up and not saying anything than to be so insincere and in your face is to sit here and say, oh, yes, no, we're totally against that, when everybody knows that they're funding it and they're supporting it, both directly and indirectly. Like all of these any of these subjects we talk about, we don't have insider information. We know the media and the government, which it's the same thing. We know they lie to us, so we have to take what information we get, and we just have to kind of read between the lines. You know, we have to look at them. You know, there are such things, you know, sometimes not everything is connected, but at the same time, you look. Not that long ago, Victoria Nuland said that, oh, we still have some really nasty surprise. Ukraine has some nasty surprises for Russia. Maybe that was just a coincidence. You had an Israeli, I believe it was a cabinet or government official, did an interview not that long ago, irate over some Russian vote against Israel that Israel didn't like at the UN. And he sat there on camera and said that Russia's going to pay for this. You're going to pay for this. Maybe it doesn't have anything to do with it. Maybe just another coincidence. I don't know, and I'm not claiming to know. We can't. But the point is, you start looking at all of these little tidbits going around, the ISIS thing being the most ridiculous, angle to take. So this is one of those, tell me the U.S. had this, you know, basically put this up without telling me the U.S. put this up. ISIS. And by the way, I say ISIS. I don't even know if that's the name anymore. Remember, this is one outfit. They keep changing. They keep repackaging so they can remarket. Remember there, it was, then they it was ISIS, and then it was IS, and what was it, ISIS K? Remember when they went with Special K or whatever the hell that was back when Obama was in there? This is they keep changing the name of this to keep it fresh. Got to keep that marketing. By the way, in this whole supposedly claim, they're not even trying to be convincing with this. You know, where were the terrorist demands? You know, in an actual, like, you know, this is terrorism. But terrorism from like a what you would traditionally think of as a terrorist group, you know, they would say, in other words, in decades past, they'd say, you know, the Irish Republican Army is a terrorist group. But whenever they did one of their attacks, you know, it was always, you know, it was coincided with the demand. You know, we want the bloody British off the aisle. You know, you got to have the demands. You know, if an Islamic terrorist attack, as you traditionally view it, happens, there's the demand. We want the U.S. out of Iraq. You know, we demand that. I mean, they claim that what the Houthis are doing is a form of terrorism by disrupting any shipping that's going to Israel. And yet, what they're doing, what the Houthis are doing, they're very open about why they're doing this. They're doing this to hinder the slaughter of civilians in Gaza. And if they stop what they're doing to the Palestinians in Gaza, they say, we'll stop doing this. You have these demands. What's the point of doing something if you're not making a demand? If you're just going to go out and attack somebody and there's no demands, then what's the point of it? Right? All right, where's the terroristic demands? I mean, again, we all know who ISIS is, but just going along with this narrative for a moment, just suspending our intelligence for a moment and pretending like we believe that ISIS is this radical Islamic group that just turned up out of nowhere somehow, so perfectly well organized and funded and with cutting edge video equipment, and they originally appeared and drove across. I don't know if I can suspend my intelligence. Remember when ISIS arrived on the scene? And this giant convoy on probably one of the most well surveilled by satellite areas on the planet. Oh, but they showed up with this giant convoy of trucks that they bought, by the way, in the U.S. and drove across the desert, and no one saw them come. They just surprised everybody. Anyway, suspending what we know and just going along, just as they say, just for the sake of argument, let's just say we believe that ISIS is what they claim they are. Where's their demands? If this is an ISIS thing, then you would think it would have been accompanied by the demand that, say, Russia stop assisting Syria. Of course, it's a little late for that. They pretty much already wiped out, quote unquote, ISIS. And there's something else. Remember, the U.S. justified their troops being in Syria because they said, oh, we're not there to topple the Assad regime. We're here to fight ISIS. Only they only attacked the Syrian regular forces. And then Russia finally says, yeah, we'll help you with that. And Damascus invites them in. Russia comes in and starts blowing up ISIS. And then the U.S. started crying and saying, no, stop. You're bombing the wrong terrorists or something. It's all ridiculous. Where are the demands? Where are the demands? Where, if this is just a Islamic terrorist thing, you would think there'd be some sort of demands, but yet there's nothing. There's nothing. I mean, really, the whole ISIS thing is basically them admitting who's behind. Now, what for, though? I mean, we have to think about, okay, well, what are they trying? What are they trying to accomplish? What's the thinking here? And you try to wrap your minds around that. There's been a few people try to come out and say this was a false flag done by Russia itself against it, which is just ridiculous. I mean, Putin just won the election with like 87% favorable vote. I don't think he really needs to stir up the public to support his policies. So, what are they looking for here? What is the point of this? Now, for the Ukrainians, this is pretty much what they're down to. I mean, they can't make any headway on the battlefield. They're trying to keep the money and the weapons spigot going. And the weapons, you know, people hear that, you know, Ukraine is demanding even more advanced weapons and they're demanding weapons. And everybody knows they don't have people to operate it anyway. What are they going to do with these weapons on the battlefield? Well, a whole bunch of them are just going to get sold. The money and the weapons aren't two separate things. They're wanting the money and then the weapons they can sell for more money. There's a big money laundering, money scam operation, and they're trying to keep it going, but it's starting to kind of sort of peter out. They can't make any actual headway on the battlefield, but they're still demanding money and weapons. They're down to lashing out civilian targets, which they've been doing that for years, but now they're really intensifying this. That's all they can do, launching these attacks. Now, to think about it, a little more long-term here, you have Victoria Nuland resigning and leaving her position, and she's the spearhead of this whole Ukraine operation. And really, I've gotten just the impression, again, we just got to go off our impression, we don't have insider information, but I've really had the impression as of late that the U.S. is ready to wind their part of this down, and they're trying to, they don't necessarily want to end it. They're just wanting to pass this off now on their European puppet states. Y'all handle this now. They're trying to move on to China. And of course, they've got to babysit Israel in the Middle East. They're trying to hand this off and let the Europeans figure it out. This could be a part of this too. And you, this could be, if that's not going to happen, this could be in a way, long-term, a way for the U.S. to toss the Ukraine thing finally under the bus and say, well, you know, wash our hands of it and walk away. I don't know. Again, we don't know. We just have to see. I'm talking about Russia's response and the fact that they do have a track record of getting back. You have to know, look, again, these things we talk about, look, Putin, people running these governments in all these different countries around the world, they know. They know more than we know. So what we know, they know this as well. If this game goes on long enough, look, at some point in time, everybody knows the U.S.'s actual weak spot is what? Israel. Everybody knows U.S. foreign policy is run out of Israel. That's a weak spot. You know, if maybe, you could wind up with things getting really tough for the Israeli government and people would see that and again, view it in a vacuum and not understand how it would be connected. This is the weak spot for the U.S. is the fact that basically they're owned and operated by the Israeli. I mean, you know, out of Israel, particularly their foreign policy is all tied to Israel. And that is a weak, open, glaring spot, especially in light of events that are going on there right now. You think about it. If they want to play the Islamic terrorists did this to Russia. What if two decide to play that game? There's a nice, big, juicy target right there, which is itself provided infinite amount of justifications. If a big bomb goes off in Tel Aviv or something, nobody's going to sit there and question it. They're going to say, well, yeah, look what they've been doing in Gaza. And of course, maybe Iran did it or whoever. These things don't always play out like you think they would. There's a lot of connected parts. And I think in the back of my mind, I think the U.S.'s big weak spot is Israel. Again, we have no idea. We have no idea how that's going to play out. Here's the thing I always hate. It's always just going to be the regular people that suffer, you know? These people going to a concert in Russia don't have anything to do with anything, and they're the ones that suffer. You know? I mean, if Russia responds to this by saying, come out and say, no, it's actually definitely the Ukrainians and we're taking the gloves off, and they start just doing this U.S. style and just flattening entire Ukrainian cities and wiping everything out. I mean, yeah, but the actual regular Ukrainian people, they get to suffer for that. I mean, how much say do they have in their government that doesn't even bother with fake elections at this point? I mean, you know, it's always the regular people that got to suffer. And again, you have to keep in mind, because Russia has had a kind of unofficial agreement with the West that they wouldn't target Zelensky personally. You know, that they wouldn't do that. It seems silly to me, but is whatever. I don't know what all goes into these agreements between these countries. Going back to the idea that this could be a way of, you know, getting rid of, you know, wrapping up the Ukraine, I guess I want to say this could be. I said here a while back, I said, you know, I see these hints in the media and from statements from American officials that it's if I was Zelensky, I'd be taking the hint that they're kind of ready for him to exit stage right, take your money and go to Israel or wherever you're planning to go. And he won't take the hint because he's like all hooked on this idea of being a celebrity. This, you know, perhaps the Russian response is that agreement's going to go away. Maybe this is also a part of Zelensky personally being thrown under the bus by the West, where they're going to look the other way if he himself gets blown up and removed because he didn't take the hint. They've been giving him hints for a while that he needs to wrap his part of the show up, and he won't take the hint. It's possible. I mean, we don't know. We have to just guess. We have to look. A lot going on here. There's going to be a response. Something's going to change. You know, these things come about. And I say this all the time, you know history, and things spiral out of control. You got these people in the West that make these decisions, make these calls, and they are always doing it in this false context that they believe, this false narrative that they've created for themselves, that they believe they can control everything. There's not possible for anything to get out of their control because they're so smart. They're very smart boys. They're very smart. I went to Princeton. I went to Harvard. I play the game. I'm very smart. If I wasn't so very smart, I wouldn't have this important position in the government. Things spiral. Things spiral away from you faster. You start a brush pile. I don't know how many of you ever burned a brush pile. It's a country thing, but if you burn a brush pile, you start off and you're like, oh, I can keep this under control. But if you don't know what you're doing, and that thing gets away from you, it'll get away from you fast. Things get out of control. The Russian government is going to have to do something. I said that they have a track record of getting their payback, and that's all well and good. But there is going to be have to be a public response to this. Putin was just reelected with 87% of the vote. If this was supposed to weaken his position, if that was the play here, that's a stupid play. Because now the Russian public isn't going to demand that Putin go softer on Ukraine and wrap this up. Their response is they're going to be calling for blood. Putin is in a position now. The Russian government is in a position now. They're going to have to do something. They're going to have to be pretty hardcore. There's going to have to be a hardcore response. There's going to have to be a change in policy. The Russian people are going to demand it. The people are going to demand something. They're going to want to see something and say, yeah, that's what they get for pulling that shit on us. There's going to have to be a response. I'm going to sit around and settle for, well, you know, we've went to the UN and condemned this action or that action. They're going to want to see something. They're going to want to see something. What that'll be, I don't know, but there will be something. Again, Putin, the Russian government, they're going to have to have a public response, something that the public can look at and see on their TVs or read about on their phones or whatever and say, yeah, you know, they're going to want to see a burning pile of rubble somewhere in the Ukraine or somewhere as a response to this. And where it goes from there, like I say, these things can spiral. They really can. Then somebody else thinks they have to respond. This is the way things get out of control. And you got to remember, these morons calling these shots in the West, these morons in Washington, D.C., they're not nearly as smart as they think they are because they don't deal in reality. And one of the things really has stuck with me, I've talked about before, is this government official. I don't remember which one of them it was. And they came out here a while back and they said, it doesn't matter what Russia accomplishes on the battlefield. What matters is that we win the narrative. We control the narrative. See, those are people that are used to not dealing in reality. They literally think that what they can say in the media and in on the internet or in the newspapers or whatever matters more than the fact your dudes are getting blown up and your opponent's forces are advancing towards your position. They just live in a fantasy world. And those type of people are the ones, they're so prideful, they don't think that things will get out of hand. They make decisions to do things such as this. And because they think, well, it'll never go that far. If somebody says, hey, yeah, but well, what if it winds up with your city and you get bombed? Oh, no, they would never do that. We're very smart. We're smart boys. Look at my Ivy League diploma. If I wasn't smart, I wouldn't have this position. These are the people making these decisions, which just enhances the risk that it is going to spiral out of control. And where it goes from here. And if it does, all of this game, this playing like the world is your courtroom, and as long as you can play technicality and, oh, well, I did not do that. You can't prove that I did that, even though everybody sitting here knows you did do it. We're just, you've got to keep playing along with me. But they don't have to keep playing along. And at some point in time, reality is liable to come crashing in on your courtroom facade. We'll wrap up on that note. I hope you have a good week. I'll be back tomorrow with the Parish of the Patriots program. Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson, of course, will be here for Wednesday for the Orthodox Nationalists. I know all y'all look forward to that. I expect Dr. Johnson back here for Thursday installment of the Daily Nationalist. Again, I don't know if he's going to cover this topic. I haven't had a chance to talk to him yet, but it's always good stuff. His Thursday show is always a, you don't want to miss it. And I plan to be back here Friday to wrap up your work week as well. So again, thank you for listening. Keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.